Blog Talk Radio.
All right, good evening, good afternoon, or good morning.
You've got to be seen green.
It all just depends on what part of the world you are listening. Okay, namaste, bienvenidos, K-Tal, and welcome to another episode of the Greenhouse Effect Radio Show. Hopefully you can hear me 10-4 here, loud and clear. My name is Will Green, holding down one half of our hosting duties. Live every Monday and Wednesday night. Oh, and also Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Live on blogtalkradio.com/thegreenhouseFX. That's the letter FX. Holding down the other half of our hosting duties. Hopefully he's still with us. I know he's probably sweating bullets and everything else.
No, I'm good.
Let's just get to the chase. It's my dad, man, Daddy-O. What's up, Bill Green?
No, man.
You all right?
What's up, Alfredo? Oh, yeah. No, I'm good, man, because, you know, I knew what was happening, so I was standing by, you know. But as soon as I knew the music, as soon as I saw you switch, and then I heard the music, I knew we were good. But I was standing by, you know. I was ready to, you know, shiver and shake. That's gonna be all right. Yeah, man. So how you doing, man?
We here, man. You know, running into that little snafu just now was like, big deal. Well, you know, it's
yeah,
amazing.
I'm sure the
millions
would have been patient. Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, we didn't get to our normal intro of the
story.
Wolf story. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
that's all right.
But,
I'm sure everybody has it down to memory, you know. Yeah, there's always next week, man. Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. So look, I'm not going to belabor the point, man. Jump on into the due diligence.
Right on, right on. So, you know, ladies and gentlemen, again, we have our live shows every Monday, Wednesday night. Our new show is started on Saturdays at 10 a.m., Creatures of Habit. Check us out. As we begin every show, we'd like to remind you all, the listeners, just to make sure you grab something to write with, a pencil and pad, paper and pencil, a post-it note and a marker. I don't care what you got, the back of an envelope or a napkin. We just want to make sure you got something to write with, maybe some thoughts, maybe something you pick up from our show, maybe some questions or comments you might actually want to share with us. We want to make sure you don't forget, and we want to make sure you don't miss anything. So I'm sure you're asking, well, Will, how do I share that information? Well, I'm so glad you asked. So look, there's a couple of ways you can do that, ladies and gentlemen. One way is that you can call in directly to our show. I'm sure you've got that pen and paper handy by now. I'm going to give you a phone number here, and that's area code 516-453-6094. Just in case that pen that never works when you're trying to look for it, you finally find it, and it never works when you first use it, again, that number is 516-453-6094. And when you're ready to chime in with Dad and I, just go ahead and hit that one button on your keypad. That'll bring your number in the queue, and we'll bring you in as soon as we can. Now, you can also engage with us in the chat room on blogtalkradio.com, again, /thegreenhousefx, the letter FX. And with your free profile Blog Talk Radio account, you can, you know, chat with us in the room there. There's plenty of room for you tonight, especially, ladies and gentlemen, as our primo Adam is taking care of business in other places and other countries right now. So we wish the best for him. Of course, God's journey, what they say, traveling mercies and Godspeed, et cetera, that he and his companion stay safe, et cetera, et cetera. So, yeah, you can definitely chat with us in the room. Be plenty of room. That's funny. Anyway, so there you have it from Will and Bill on the Greenhouse Effect Radio Show.
Man.
Of course, we all love to hear you there.
You are smooth as a baby's butt, man. Right on. Like, you got it down pat. I swear. I love listening to it, man. Yeah, and old cousin Adam, huh? Yeah, in Antigua, huh?
Yeah,
so
yeah, man.
I doubt if we hear from him tonight.
I wouldn't expect it, man. You know,
yeah.
I wouldn't expect it. He'll probably say he tried to chime in.
Yeah.
He'll probably say he tried to chime in, but he couldn't because, you know, he's out of the country. You know, I definitely know how it is, man.
Man, I would hope that he wouldn't try to chime in. I would hope that he's enjoying taking that time off, man. Yeah, that time away, you know.
I'm not saying that he would be telling the truth or not. I'm just saying he would probably say.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about right on, man. now we're talking. Yeah,
but it's all love, you know. It's all love. All love.
It's all love, yeah. Perfect
so,
segue.
Ben, you know, you know, we decided to shift things up tonight, as we mentioned in our description for tonight's show. Oh, also, ladies and gentlemen, if some of you may have received Facebook invites, you can also chat with us on the Facebook event page as well. I know a lot of us are used to using Facebook, so if that's easier for you, jump on there in the event page and post any questions or comments you have in the discussion tab. Forgot about that.
Amen.
Yeah.
Right on.
And don't wait for us to invite you on the phone line. Just go ahead and hit that one, and we'll bring it in. You got to wait for us.
Right.
I think that's it. Is that it? That's it, right?
Hey, man. That's it. And then some, man. Yeah, you covered all the bases.
Man.
You know, no question about it. Yeah. And slid safely in the home. Right on, man. So I'm loving how you wrote up tonight's topic, man. You know, that we decided to shift gear. You know, if I may, just a couple comments about that shifting the gears. Are you okay with that? I know this is kind of going off script a little bit.
I love to hear it because when I was writing it up, I'm like, shift gears is something that was like, do I want to use that or not?
Right.
I love
perfect.
To hear what you're saying.
Yeah.
What you got.
No, it's perfect as far as I'm concerned, you know, because, you know, we've been going, especially this year, but all past shows as well. We've been going pretty hot and heavy, though, you know, this year. We haven't really had any
any real changes or any. I mean, we've had like Ray and Jay Pastor and of course Adam, you know, chime in, and you know, we've had. I don't know. I think that's about it, right? Have we had anybody else pop in this year on the show?
Marty.
Yeah, Marty. That's right, cousin Marty. Yeah. Okay. And maybe we're forgetting one or two other people. I doubt it, but maybe we are. But we haven't done any live interviews, you know. So we've just been going pretty hot and heavy, you know, on one topic after another. Some topics, you know, extended, you know, over two or three shows at a given time. Yeah. And in the meantime, also given some, you know, given some highlighted commentary around, you know, the news of the world, you know, as far as, you know, whatever's going on in government, whatever's going on overseas, you know, themes of war, themes of COVID, issues with government, you know, the ongoing battle for civil rights. Yeah, we've been, you know, it's been pretty intense. And then these last few shows were about, you know, dealing with the history of the white race in America. And I don't know, even in talking about it Monday, after we were done, I just let out a long breath of air and thought, you know, this is pretty intense. And I think maybe we've even possibly shooed a few people away, you know, thinking all these cats do is just talk about everybody. Well, you know, it's not like we're not like being little black Rush Limbaughs or anything. You know, we're just, you know, either presenting topics or raising questions. But nevertheless, it's been pretty intense. So, you know, I just thought I had it in my heart, rather, to just ask you if you were cool with us just taking a moment, taking a show, you know, and just talk about, you know, like contrary to what people might think about us based on what we're banging away, you know, every week, that, you know, we really are two kind of happy guys. You know, we really do have, you know, a positive outlook on life. I mean, we really do believe in God and Jesus and the Holy Ghost, you know, that, and, you know, we have room in our hearts for, you know, everyone, and don't take issue and debate with anyone regarding, you know, their own belief systems, as long as it's not a belief system of hate, you know, and evil, you know. So, you know, it's like, why not just, I don't want to say have fun, but why not just ease up on off the gas a little bit and just kind of, you know, cruise into a show that hopefully, you know, those who are listening would also want to, you know, join in on the spirit of it. You know, and just talk about, you know, the things, THINGS, of life that revolve around us every day. You know, I wasn't always 75. I still can't get used to saying that. There was a time in my life, you know, that I didn't even think about life and death. You know, I just thought about things like going to school, you know, and so forth. I'm not going to, you know, start tripping yet. So I just really appreciated the idea that you were cool with, and I love the way you wrote it up, of shifting gears and just talk about, as you wrote it, the joys of life. And then you put in an extra sentence, and the timing couldn't be any more perfect. Time to reflect on hopes, dreams, loving relationships, you know, as we all continue our life lessons while managing everything else that comes with it. Man, what a beautiful way to write it, man. So, you know, thank you for writing up tonight's show to lead, you know, and giving me, you know, a little intro of gathering my thoughts, you know, as I start responding to what you wrote out, man. So anyway, that's, you know, thanks for that shifting of the gears. You know, it's a beautiful idea, beautiful concept, beautiful approach, my man.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. Monday, I think we both had, I don't know, just some shifting of energies or even type stuff that was, I don't know, bouncing into each to itself. Well, at least for me anyway, I can only speak for me.
Right on. No, you're doing fine.
You know, and you know, I wanted to make it clear, you know, that whatever was going on, you know, that it wasn't, you know, you know, and as I mentioned that I was, you know, just managing and dealing with, you know, issues of
everything.
Life, as I put, yeah,
no,
you know,
everything. Yeah, I said, man, you know, yeah, the stress. You said, no, man, I'm just managing life and dealing with everything. Well, I can't think of a better description of stress. And then even what we're talking about, if I may just cut in right quick, I don't want to take away from the fact that Jay Pastor had called in, and it was a live discussion with him. And, you know, so I don't want to take away from that. He, you know, nobody would have known that we were dealing with what we were dealing with in the background, you know, because, you know, we were dealing with what we were dealing with in the background. And I don't even think we knew it. But I think we both felt, you know, the tension of the show. And I think it was a culmination of things. I have my own list. You have your own list. You know, but I agree with you. But it wasn't about, you know, our relationship with each other per se. You know, it's just that we have the unenviable task of, you know, a degree of transparency regardless of, you know, what it may mean. Sometimes it's just that we're out here on the front lines, you know, and sometimes the greater responsibility doesn't give us much time to pout. It's like, yeah, I have to do that later. Right now, y'all got a show to do. So, anyway, sorry, man, I cut into you.
No, that's all good. You mentioned the degree of transparency, and yeah, I think some of that that comes with it with doing the show and offering these degrees of transparency. You know, it gets me when I'm not expecting it. You know, and that could be just because of the extra pressure I put on myself. As we all do, we put pressure on ourselves to accomplish a task, whatever it is. You know, I'm sure a lot of us do it. But me, you know, I you know, I put as much as I can. You know, putting myself in the hot seat. You know, nobody else has to. You find me advice, I'll find a way to crank it up, you know, and put my.
You got to crank it up.
I got to crank it up, man, you know. Whatever you put in that advice, you know, I'm gonna put something in it, man, and crank it up.
You got to crank it up.
You can fill in the blank.
Happy as you got to crank it up, yeah, man. You know, right on.
You know, so
you know
these degrees of transparency. Sometimes I sit here and I, you know, think about the show and I think about, you know, how we're preparing for each show, how we want to present it. And I'm thinking about myself individually, how I'm going to present it and, you know, how I want to flow with you and how and vice versa. And then I get into these moments of wanting to be transparent and talk about or discuss like we're doing tonight, you know, and dealing with these things of life.
Yeah,
and then I put myself in this hot seat, and then I'm questioning, you know, do I sound hypocritical? You know, am I taking on other people's burdens?
Yeah.
You know, whether consciously or unconsciously, you know, and all these different things that come with, you know, just wanting to produce as best of a show as possible, you know, with what we have available. But I forget, you know, about the lessons that come with doing the show, the moments of what's the when you go into the therapeutic advantages of doing this show as well. But again, it's just that balance. Maybe it's good I didn't read the wolf story tonight, but it's still understanding that wolf story and still trying to, you know, balance feeding that wolf. And, you know, maybe sometimes the bad wolf can push me and give me a little extra bit of determination. But then I got to remember that good wolf, you know, whether or not I accomplish something or, you know, at least I can acknowledge the effort, you know, all this stuff that we do about, you know, you know, the good and bad to what we deal with. But I just wanted to just share that you mentioned that degree of transparency, and, you know, and I realized that it's okay for me to share with the audience, I think, when I'm kind of going through something. You know, I always have these moments of, you know, well, meditation and the three ways to do this and these laws of doing that, you know.
Yeah, that's right. That's right, yeah.
You know, but, yeah, I'll be struggling too, man. You know, I'm sorry about that. But, you know, I have my issues and I have these battles, internal battles as well. So, shifting gears.
You apologizing
tonight
for calling me man? Go on, man. Keep it rolling. Go.
That was more or less for the listening audience than for you. But
come on, man. I call you
more
man
for them.
All right. Okay. Yeah. I'm sorry.
So, no, you know, I just, I was just having this moment, and I just wanted to kind of be transparent for a minute and just share that, you know, with everyone and with you. You know, it's a reading and, you know, just stuff today, looking at what's happening in the world. And, of course, there's another retrograde as well. It seems like there's a lot of damn retrograde lately, man. Or maybe it's just like, you know, when you never paid attention to that car, but once you buy that car, once you know about that car, you see it all the time. So maybe it's just being knowledgeable of, I don't know, the universe or ourselves with the earth or whatever you want to call it, metaphysical studies, what have you. It's amazing also in how these changes still affect us. And I guess this is one of the advantages I have of having this show, doing this show about it and acknowledge these things as well.
Mm-hmm.
But I just thought it was really funny, though, that, you know, everybody's talking about this other retrograde is happening and all this stuff that's going on. And whether you believe it or not, ladies and gentlemen, there are factors that affect us, whether we know it or not. And sometimes it's just we can't control it. You know, it's just a matter of us having to deal with it and finding that balance, I guess.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for that moment of sharing.
No, man, keep it rolling, man. I mean, you know, we're surrounded by things we bombarded with that we don't really know, you know, because most of us are not scientists. So we have to depend on whatever information is provided. Then we have to depend on our own sense and sensibilities to interpret whatever we interpret, to put it in whatever category we want to put it in. You know, you use the term retrograde. You know, we're talking about planetary influences and the shifting of planetary energies. And retrograde, when it's caused by Mercury, creates one particular confusion. But it's, when caused by other planets, it creates another kind of clash or confusion or, you know, whatever the shifting of the energy may be. But, see, I think also, you know, that most of us tend to only use our imagination as far as the laws of gravity allow. So many don't think beyond, you know, the earth. So we confine our beliefs, our imaginations, our hopes, fears, prayers, within the boundaries of that which we have a better perspective of, you know, just the earth in itself standing alone. And most of us don't use the vision of seeing through the mind's eye, you know, that which surrounds the earth. And it's like we think even of God as being earthbound,
You know, we may say God the creator of everything, but we don't think about God as the, well, I can't say we. I don't, a lot of, most of the time, I don't think of God as being the creator of everything when I'm thinking about my little issues. You know, it's like my little issues is as big as the universe. It's like, you know, like, well, okay, man, but I think you're underestimating the universe. You know, it's like, you know, Bill, man, you know, your issues, if you don't confine God to the laws of gravity, that's how big of a solution there is outside of the Earth's domains, right? You know, that's how much your imagination has to work with. That's where your prayers go. But, dude, if you keep it confined to just this one little rock, you're denying yourself a whole lot of hope, you know. And so things happen outside of the realm of the Earth that people would rather just not want to engage or talk about, think about, or study and read about, okay. But that doesn't mean what I study and read about is therefore null and void. It's like, no, you know, Mercury in retrograde. That means a lot of electronics are going to be tampered with, and they're not going to function the way we want them to function. Heck, we hear about solar flares, but we don't really. We read about that science tells us when solar flares hit the Earth, it's really only electronics that are disturbed. Well, okay, but if I step on the third rail of that L track, you know, that electromagnetic current is going to kill me right on the spot.
Right.
So,
right. You
know, we got, you know, like, I don't see, like, I got all these remote controls, right? I don't see that beam that goes from my remote to the TV screen that turns it off or on, but there's got to be some kind of electromagnetic force, right, that if I put my hand in front of it, it's passing through my hand. You know, I have to take, you know, I have to take science's word for it that, oh, but it's not doing any damage. You know, I know that there's something that's going from the remote through my hand to the TV. And somehow me believing that my body is held together by this incredible frequency, right, a vibration where all the cells are acting as one but yet separate one from the other to keep them, you know, in their own autonomy. But they're held together by this incredible frequency, right? Now, if I'm shooting a light beam through there, you're going to tell me that all those cells aren't being disturbed? Well, you know, then how come a person dies when they're strapped into an electric chair? Yes. You know, man, I don't know. Well, so I know I'm tripping a little bit, man. Let me gear it down. So I'm just saying that just what you just threw out just now can either do one or two things for anybody listening. It can either expand imagination or cause immediate shutdown. You know, and I think so many of us go through life that way. You know, we're either expanded or we're like, you know, get that away from me. You know, I don't know what the fear is of learning about something that doesn't apply to me when I have the selective choice of deciding if I even want to delve into it. But if I do decide to, you know, it's called, you know, information, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, so I'm feeling you all the way, man, you know. And, you know, the word transparency, that's a relatively new term for me, you know, something that's been thrown out there by, you know, from the political arena. I don't know what I called it before that. I think we called it being real. In the hood, you know. Yeah, well, right. What were some other terms, man?
Yeah. Being 100.
Okay.
You know, to
being 100. Pig it. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't think about it right
now. Yeah, but help. Yeah, I know. But help me out with something, because this is, you know, this is where a lot of confusion set in for me. Now,
okay.
When I was growing up, being woke, you know, that was a good thing. I get the feeling being woke ain't a good thing anymore. How did that happen? Who decided that? I mean, you don't have to answer, and I might be wrong. Maybe I'm reading it wrong. But it seems like I hear the idea of being woke in negative, you know, connotation. Man, when a dude was woke, that means he was hip. He was on to something. He knew what was going on, but that don't seem to apply today. I hate it when people tamper with my language just when I'm getting used to it.
I love it when we have discussions like this, especially when you start off. It's funny, you know, because, well, I'm sorry, I'm kind of jumping.
Not going, man.
You know, it's like when we were younger, we hear the elders or parents say, when I was growing up, or when he was like,
yeah.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah.
Oh, all right. Strap in, boys and girls.
I start rolling.
Here we go. Hey, who knows? They probably do that when both of us start on that now, even on this show. But hey, whatever. But, you know,
well, y'all used to do it with me. What do you mean? You know, I just, you know, heck, you still
I don't
do.
Know what you're talking about, Father. I've never done
yeah,
such
right.
a thing
y'all
with you, man.
Do,
I
man.
Sit with full y'all, attention, ready to absorb. And
all three of y'all. As soon as I start, you know, y'all start, like, looking for something else to do.
I got to go to work.
You know, you know, I got to go to the bathroom. I mean, it don't matter anything. Ma, did you call me? No, yes, you did. You know, yeah, man. So it ain't that long ago, but recently enough that I love the fact that it doesn't go away with childhood. It's still the nature of relationships, you know. Parents to children, or biological father and mothers to sons and daughters, or what is called, you know, that I hate the term, but the step parent. You know, I don't see how a parent can be a step parent when a step parent steps in to take the place of a parent. Maybe that's where the word comes from, stepping in, a stepping in parent. Maybe that's what step parent means. You know,
like
maybe that's something
that
we can. Something we can look at in a future show, the origin of step-parent, you know. So, you know, anyway.
Yeah, I mean, because that's, you know, especially if we ever dive deep into, you know, personal relationships. You know, we mentioned on the show,
man.
You know, looking at and reflecting loving relationships. And,
yeah.
You know,
amen.
There's many, many stories we hear about people who have even better relationships with their step-in parent. I like that, man, step-in.
Yeah.
You know, they have better relationships with those, you know, parents than with their biological. So that's interesting. And if that's not the definition, then damn it, you heard it here first on the Greenhouse Space Radio Show.
Yeah, right. Yeah, we just invented it.
Hey,
you know,
write
like,
it down.
You have,
write it down.
There's something you say at the end of every show, be yourself, because everyone else is already taken. You know, and I don't know if you remember, but I used to say that to you a lot. And I thought it was an original saying until one day, you know, I was looking up quotes. And I thought, you know, let me take a look at this be yourself, because I was claiming it as something original. It turns out it was, you know, it was attributed to this dude, Oscar Wilde, you know, a poet of the, you know, the mid-century 1900s. You know, who died before I was born. So it's like, dad, you know, I can't very well claim that he stole it from me. You know, he died before I was born. But, you know, it's just funny, you know, how that can happen. You know, like, I know I didn't read it. I really thought it was original. And I think, you know, Scripture tries to tell us that, hey, man, you know, you're still living by the laws of gravity. There ain't nothing new under the sun. You know, it's all the stuff that's out here in the universe that you haven't experienced yet. All right, I'm really tripping now. But anyway, so getting to the theme of what tonight's show was supposed to be about. What you got, man?
Before that, let me just, you were asking about, about woke. Yeah, you were asking about woke. Let me just say that I think I don't know for sure. I don't know where that change occurred, but I think it might have just had something to do with either A, people claiming to be knowledgeable or have this knowledge, but either they don't really understand, or, like, you know, like now we have people that put out false news, you know, kind of that sense. And then there's others who, you know, kind of use that knowledge to their own perversion, if you will, manipulation, et cetera. So I think, like, you know, a lot of cats, you know, have caused it to, you know, like this guy, like Dr. what's his name, Umar, I can't remember his full name, you know, like.
That's okay.
Probably a decade now, you know, this brother's been making videos. He's very intelligent, and he's got all this knowledge, and he's supposed to be building these schools, you know, these black-run, black-empowered schools and stuff like that, and it's never come into fruition. And so it's like after a while, these people who seem to display themselves as having this knowledge, they just talk and never really come about any action with their knowledge and or their intentions.
Okay. But I'm trying to shift away from just those kind of themes tonight.
Man, gravity, right? That's something else.
Yeah, man. So other than that, man, what you got, man? You know, we can always talk about woke in another show.
Yeah. Well, you've been asking that question, you know, for since we've been, you know, began doing this together. What does that mean? Well, but anyway.
Yeah, thank you.
what do I have tonight? Where do I begin? Right. I mean, we were talking earlier, and you know, we really felt that. And I don't know, ladies and gentlemen, we'd love for you all to chime in as well. You know, but it seems like there's like this collectiveness as well, like this collective energy that a lot of people are tired. Like I'm just really tired. You know, and we could say it's the retrogrades or
what do you feel good about, man? What you wrote out, you know, the joys of life, you know, the timing couldn't be any more perfect to reflect on hopes and dreams and loving relationships. You know, what's up with that, man? How's that going? You know, are you feeling it tonight, man?
I'm trying.
You're gonna have me cussing up in here in a second, man. All right, let me give you a little nudge, man. How's Jackson doing?
Jackson's great. Today is May 4th, right? So for all those Star Wars fans out there, May the 4th be with you. Star Wars joke.
All right, let me just reflect on, throw that back at you. You know, I had never seen Star Wars, right? It had been out for a minute. And who was it that took me to see it?
I don't know.
Yeah, you do. I'm asking you. Who was it that took me to see it?
We went to go see it.
Yeah. And where were we living at the time? Or where was I living at the time? But do you remember?
No, I don't.
I was in Kenosha, Wisconsin. I was working at a halfway house in Waukegan, Illinois. And you came out to what was supposed to be to stay with me for a couple weeks while your mother had a procedure. And you wound up staying with me for the whole summer. You wound up going to work with me every day to the halfway house. Everybody in the halfway house fell in love with you. I didn't have to worry about, you know, your care or your well-being. It was a co-ed halfway house. Sometimes the dudes would take you out with them. Sometimes the girls would take you out with them. And I could always tell the difference between who took you out. Because I could always see when you came back with a little glint in your eye, I knew it wasn't because the dudes took you anyway. You know, and the cook at the halfway house, you know, would let you sit under her elbow while she prepared meals sometimes. But one particular weekend, man, I had this little a gremlin, and I called it the Green Hornet, man. And you mentioned Star Wars to me. You had seen it, and you thought I would like it, man. And that's what turned me on. the whole saga came to life for me. I think, what, it had been out for a few years, right?
Oh, you wouldn't remember.
You know, and
yeah,
see, that's I'm stealing your joy right now, because that's, you know, that when I think of you, no matter what we might, what changes we might be going through, what issues we might be bumping heads with, sooner or later, you know, somebody told me once that cream always rises to the top, you know, and I have the cream of my memories when it comes to you. And those are the ones that always rise to the top. And the times that we have, you know, clashes of disagreement, they just sink back to the bottom, you know, and that's one of my high moments, you know. That's one of my cream moments, man, when I think about that summer we spent together. And make no mistake about it, I was concerned every day about, you know, you getting bored, you missing your ma, you wanting to go home, you know, man. And it's like, you know, you was like, I don't know what problems you having, Dad, but I'm having a ball. Anyway, man. Yeah. And it meant so much to me, because I remember the times before my life, you know, after treatment. And I remember those times, you know, those nightmarish times, you know. I remember one time your mama just dropped you off in my little raggedy apartment because she was determined that I was going to spend time with you in spite of myself, you know. And I had this little old raggedy train set, man. And, you know, you played with that train set all day as if you were riding the train yourself, man, you know. And you know, like, I had just enough money to buy – it was either buy myself a drink or buy you a hamburger. So I bought you a hamburger. But, man, you know, the crazy thing is just watching you play with that train. You know, I don't know if you remember, but I had this old black and white TV that I had to beat into submission before it would come on and stay in a picture would hold, you know. And watching you play with that train and eat that hamburger, man, you know, that was one time where drinking didn't take priority in my life, you know. So, you know, it's like a negative memory but turned into a positive afterthought when I can balance it with that summer we spent together, man. So, you know, not meaning to rain on your joy, man, by, you know, stealing the thunder and talking about my own. But that's the kind of thing, you know, that came rushing to my mind when we talked about doing this show tonight, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just mentioning the fourth, you know, today, just because the Star Wars reference. I actually talked to Jax before the show, and he was in Florida not too long ago, just recently.
Wow!
And he got a this lightsaber. Like this actual, the lightsaber they use, of course it's not like the real one, you know, but it's like he's got this replica that lights up and makes all these noise and stuff like that. And I just thought it was pretty cool, you know, because he's so.
Yeah, really.
You know, he's just really, you know, he does his own thing, you know, sometimes. So even for something like that, you know, I can see that and see, you know, something different out of his normal character, if you will. You know, and it was just pretty cool, you know, that he did that. So I was, you jumped into the Star Wars story, because I was going to reflect on that also. It's just these little moments of Star Wars, because it's funny, because I never thought he even liked Star Wars. But anyway, you asked how Jax is doing. He's doing good, man. He's cool.
Outstanding. You know, outstanding, man.
That lightsaber. You know, I know that, and I know you're going to talk a little bit later when we were mentioning step in parents. I had a flashback or a memory, if you will. I saw this post on Facebook, and it was a old commercial for the $6 Million Man. For those that don't know the show, it used to be this TV show called the $6 Million Man.
Yeah, Lee Majors, right.
Lee Majors, Lee Majors. His character was Steve Austin before Stone Cold.
Steve Austin, right?
Steve Austin, the $6 Million Man. He used to. That was like one of my favorite little action figures, man. Like one of the first ones. You look
there
behind
was.
The head.
Yeah.
You know, you look behind the head and get the little bionic eye action and stuff like that.
But, right.
You know, it was like you know that toy, and
Spider-Man thing. I think he attached to your wrist or something. But anyway, it was these two little things, and it, seeing this commercial today gave me a brief flood of memories of being around you and your mom, my grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I never really had a lot of memories just because, you know, I was young and she passed away when I was young. You know, there's still,
yeah,
like, just the
memories. Yeah, she was only
60, I
have, right?
Yeah, you know, there's these brief memories I have that just have never gone away, and it's like just embedded, you know, in my memory bank. And it was just, you know, certain things that just pops into my mind between, you know, your mom and mom's mom, you know.
Right, yeah.
But, yeah, seeing that little commercial today just brought back, you know, some really nice memories of those simpler times. And I know that it was crazy for you, but for me it was simple, and simple was doable.
Right.
You know, we was, you know, to me, I felt safe, you know. There was roof over our head, we had walls around us, so, and when, like, people was banging on the door or they were shooting all night or stuff like that. And,
well, that's true, you know, too. Yeah, you grew up at a time, yeah, when it wasn't a whole lot of that chaos going on in the hood, yeah.
Yeah, not like now, you know, totally, mm-hmm, totally different. But, you know, it was simpler things, you know. Give me some paper, give me something to draw on, you know, maybe a comic book here or there, and just let my imagination flow. And I guess that's
okay,
really,
but,
I didn't
but
even
hold on, hold on, hold on. I'm going to hold you right there, you know, because you ran right past it. You know, give you a piece of paper, give you something to write or draw on, and you said, and a comic book, making it sound like it was something else. But, you know, what did you do with that paper and that crayon and that pen, man? What did you create? What were you, like, seven?
I made my own comic book. Yeah,
action figure comic book. You know, with not just drawing some stick figures, you know, but having that little box where there was dialogue going on. This is what I was hoping you would expand on, even something like that. The significance of that, man. You know, I saved all that, you know, right? And what did I do with it?
Yeah, you got it.
But what did I do with it? I saved all that stuff, but what did I do with all that?
You talking about the ones that
those
you
comic
passed
books
on to Jackson? Let Jackson see.
Yeah, the comic books that you made, man. I saved them all. And on his sixth or seventh birthday, I gave all that stuff to him as a gift. And at first he looked at it at, like, you know, wow, okay. But it was like I told him, but your dad did all this. Because at first he just looked at it like, you know, through the imagination of a child. He could see another child must have drawn it. Okay, great. Thank you, Granddad. Could have spent money on a better gift than this, though. But when I told him it was from you, man, he had a big old pile of gifts from everybody. He just pushed all that stuff to the other end of the table. And he would not let go of going through all your drawings and all your, man, you know, and, like, look at, I don't know where he is today with his art, but I know where he was, where he has been. And I don't know. I, you know, all I know is that I saw a light go on, man. You know, and everybody kept trying, hey, open up this, Armand. He's like, yeah. You're like, no, I'm too busy looking at what my dad did. You know, man, that's what I'm talking about, man. But I'm still feeling like I'm stealing your thunder, man. You know, I wouldn't
No.
Your memories in the mind.
No,
know, but man.
No. It's through all those things from you know, having those moments with just me and you in Kenosha or whatever, and in the beginning of the show, we always laugh about the back of an envelope or a napkin. You know, because, again, that was, like, one of the first times I saw that you could draw, you know, that you had these skills, you know, which opened up dialogue about your dad and his skills.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's,
even doing like this show, you know, like sometimes making graphics or finding graphics and stuff like that, you know, so it's kind of a different thing, of course, because it's technology and the computer, but it's because of those moments with the napkin or the back of an envelope, you know, I think is what brings us to where we are today and being able to express our creativity, you know, and being able to share it with Jackson and his generation, you know, passing it down, if you will, kind of, you know, a small kind of a legacy or something like that. But, you know, it's those moments, those simpler moments that causes me to look at what we do today. Sometimes and it's very you know, and that's why I think that's why we speak so proudly about what we do today, you know, and then of course everything else that we try to balance in between our relationship.
Amen.
You're not stealing any thunder, man. Just, you know, giving you your props and you know, your acknowledgement, acknowledging, you know, what you've passed on to me and what's been passed on to Jackson. And like I said, it's always a pleasure to be able to share that with everybody as well. So anyway, but you're not stealing my thunder, man. No. We don't have a whole lot of time left, and I know there were a couple of things you wanted to hit as well.
Yeah, I mean, because the idea of the topic kind of lit me up, you know, so I'm not going to deny that. But I broke it into categories. About five. You know, that first starting with hope. You know, I don't think hope dies. You know, with conclusion. I don't think there is a conclusion in hope. You know, but I also love what Scripture says: hope seen is not hope. For what does a man hope is for if he seeth it? And it's like right on. You know, so it's like using that as my motto. You know, I know my hope is born from my imagination. So one example for me would be, you know, I hope that in the end I'm a success as far as being a father to you three guys. You know, and I see that, it doesn't matter what we might say along the way. And there's been a lot said, a lot has happened with me and the three of you, and the three of you with me. You know, but the hope is still in the end, you know, that the legacy will be one of success and dreams. You know, I'm still holding out, man, for that earth-shaking bestseller. I'm still dreaming for that. And, you know, I'm also, you know, I still got a dream for marriage, man, you know, and I got a dream for marriage more so than a hope for marriage, you know. So, you know, the dream, of course, can't be realized without a girlfriend. So, yeah, I let that go. But it's to me exciting at my age to still have a dream, you know, of marriage even after two setbacks, you know. And along those lines, you know, the loving relationships, you know, you hit on that earlier, you know. I mean, where do I even start about loving relationships? You know, all I know is that, you know, all of my loving relationships have all at one time or another hit a bump in the road, you know, and they may take on different forms, you know, when that bump hits. But loving relationships, love doesn't die when it's present in a relationship. I really believe that. And, you know, time and distance and that vacant time of not being in dialogue, that doesn't, you know, that doesn't taint love. You know, love just, to my estimation, doesn't work that way. Have I had setbacks? Oh, yeah. You know, I've had setbacks as well as growth. Two divorces, but in order to have divorce, you have to get married. So, you know, yeah, you know, and the crazy thing, I really do believe that there's still a continuum. Just when love is present, I can't speak for it otherwise, but when love is present, you know, I know that even the relationship of divorce continues. Actually, in many ways, continues to grow. It doesn't just run sideways. You know, it just takes on a different form. You know, and bankruptcies, I've had chapter 13 and chapter 7.
You know, finances have hit rock bottom more than once. I quit high-paying jobs, and I quit low-paying jobs. And, of course, high-paying and low-paying is all relative, right, to need. You know, I've lived off of unemployment until that ran out, you know, and I was fortunate enough when my last unemployment ran out, I was old enough to qualify for retirement, you know, and your cousin Artie helped me understand how it worked, but it had changed so much from what he described that it didn't take any time for it to kick in. He had talked about it like a 6-month or 9-month process, and I was thinking, oh, my God, what am I going to do all that time? You know, but no, it only took like a month, you know. I had a car repossessed. Man, what would I have done if not for you? When that car was taken, that was the end of my line as far as finances was concerned. I had to give up my little ragtag job. But more importantly, I couldn't even get around, you know. And that raft, man, that old raft that you held together by spitting and duct tape, you know, many a time when you would come by the crib, man, in the middle of winter, man, with that raft had no heat, you know, shaking at its boots, you know. But you would come by, man, and sometimes bring me coffee, and we'd sit up and chop it up with coffee and donuts and talk about the problems of everybody else. Of everybody else being a problem. You know, sometimes I drive you to school, so you let me have a ride for the rest of the day, man. You know, and I mean, man, you know, and those times you would come by and rescue me, man. One time you had to dig me out. You know, I mean, I had bad hips. I hadn't had my hip surgery yet on either hip.
Yeah.
You know, man, one time I was iced in, man, and you had to don your rescue man outfit. But see, folks don't understand that about you. You know, like, you know, you had this orange jumpsuit, big old thick thing, you know. And you had, I thought I had them, but I know you have pictures of yourself coming through blizzards with that orange thing on. You'd be digging out the neighborhood, you know, not getting paid for it, just digging out the neighborhood, just going through the neighborhood, just shoveling people's walks. You know, rescue man, you know, man. You know, and I've had my share of victories. My greatest, I believe, you know, it's up to this point, you know, but through the grace of God, maintaining uninterrupted sobriety, you know. But even with that, wasn't so much the sobriety, right, the staying away from alcohol and other drugs. But my greatest victory was the surprise on your face when you didn't realize I had quit smoking for a year. I mean, I had quit, but the year had passed, you know, and we was, I still like it was yesterday. We was at IHOP after church, me, you, and your mom. And you, yeah, this was back when. I mean, how long ago was it? You know, and you said, hey, Dad, after we had breakfast, you said, aren't you going to fire up? You know, aren't you going to light? You know, you were already with the matches to light my cigarette for me. And I looked at, I said, son, I ain't smoked in a year. And you looked at me, and I could see your little mind just calculating the time that had passed. A year, let me, it could have been. And you looked at me and said, hey, Dad, it has been that long since I last saw you smoke. Man, you know, that's the stuff victory is, you know, made from my memories, you know. And
yeah.
then, of course, and I know we're right at the closing moment, you know, and I think we chased our last. There was somebody in, I think it was Jay Pastor. I guess he bailed. I guess he, you know, but he never hit one. So anyway, I'm still going to tell you, Casey, even if it's just me and you. I don't care. You know, but I do want to acknowledge the death, you know. What, too many to list. You know, you just hit on two, both your grandmothers, you know. Just that alone. And you never knew your grandfather. I never knew your grandfather. You know, I knew Uncle John. He was kind of like the patriarch. And but, you know, I got a chance to meet a lot of your mama's people, like in Ohio. But all in all, no, those immediate biological, you know, ties for you, you never had those experiences. You know, but I'm so, you know, it's way too many at my age. I think I kind of get a little jelly leg because I'm thinking there's more people, I think, in heaven now than on earth that I know. That's kind of unnerving.
Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that.
You know, yeah, but Saturday, a very dear friend, you know, Buzzy, you know, Morris Thomas, you know, like I sent him a email, a text message, rather, like last Wednesday, and in response to a message he had sent me, then he hit me back asking me about Mastering the Art of Failure in Relationships, you know, my latest book. And I hit him up Saturday to tell him I found a place, Walmart, online, that was online books, you know, and they had it available. And then I got a reply, and it was from his daughter telling me that he got a reply on Monday, and it was from his daughter Sunday. And his daughter telling me that on his phone, text coming to me, and it started out, "Hi, Bill." You know, and I'm thinking, you know, that ain't how Buzzy talks. You know, he starts out, "My brother Bill." You know, then he starts, you know, with God reference. And then she said, "I just wanted to let you know that my dad passed on Saturday." You know, it's like, whoa. And then today, you know, crazy thing. I woke up this morning inspired to send Tammy, you know, Armand and Brandon's mom, your stepmom, I was inspired to just send her some pictures I came across, because, you know, I've been working through all these pictures trying to organize them to put them in an album, right? And I saw these with her and her mother in them and a couple more. And so I just sent her a message with the photos and telling her that if, you know, if she wanted them, you know, I could send them to her if she didn't have them. And she sent me back telling me, you know, now I have them. And that was our conversation, like at 8 o'clock this morning, 9 o'clock. And then around 11 o'clock, Armand hit me up telling me that her mother, Carol Ann, you know, had passed, Armand's grandma, Brandon's grandma, and in many ways your grandma. You know, we all called her Ma, you know. And that was so trippy for me because I realized that Tammy didn't know that I didn't know, you know, so she thought I was sending her those photographs because I knew that her mother had passed. And I thought to myself, boy, that she must think I'm a really cold dude if that's how I would acknowledge her mother passed. I'd say, "Hey, I got these pictures if you want them." So I hit her back and said, "I did not know when I sent you that message." And she was like, "Wow, that's amazing." And then I thought about it. I said, "No, that's Carol Ann up to her old tricks." that's kind of how she does it, you know. And so anyway, we wound up having a good conversation. But I just wanted to acknowledge. I mean, I knew my mother-in-law for over 40 years, and you just don't, you know, I just don't chunk that into the recycle bin, like, you know, just. So I was closer to her mother's age than I was to Tammy's age. You know, so in many ways, me and her mother had many of the same themes, many of the same connects generationally. And I think that's why we had so many battles as well. And we did. We had battles almost right from the start, you know. But I can say, you know, with her passing, I can say, you know, in spite of all that, I loved her to death, you know, and I never knew of a time where I could say that to someone who had already passed. So, you know, let me thank you, man, for letting me go, you know, on and on with all this. So, you know, I looked up the term joy just for the heck of it. And okay. I was writing it even as the show started. And it said, "We feel joy in our bodies because of the release of dopamine and serotonin, you know, two neurotransmitters to the brain. These chemicals are heavily associated with happiness." You know, and that might sound too scientific for folks, but people got to understand, without understanding how the brain operates and the chemical releases. See, this is why so many people wind up getting hooked on alcohol and other drugs, because they want to tamper with the wiring to create either more or less of a desired effect. And it's a matter of understanding, you know, that, you know, people who get, you know, kind of adapted to it, some kind of addictive behaviors, you know, are little chemists. They know how they want to feel, whether they want to feel more of a thing or less of a thing. So they tamper with drugs until they get that desired effect one way or the other. You know, so I'm saying that only to say you know, it's the joy and the happiness that's already in us. You know, but so many people suffer from so much despair, they have to figure out a way to go outside of themselves to tamper with the wiring inside of themselves to try to create a feeling that life itself is not able to produce enough of. You know, so, you know, I'm hoping that, you know, you're feeling joy tonight, man. I'm hoping that you're feeling the happiness that you talked about in the intro, you know. And I hope that, you know, you do spend time reflecting on hopes, dreams, and loving relationships. You know, it's so easy for so many of us to get caught up in the rabbit hole, like we talk about in a lot of shows, that, you know, we shut out the light, you know. And I understand the frustrating side of life, but I also know that for everything that anyone, you know, would have any negative feelings about themselves, there has to be a positive one, because negative can't exist without positive. That's how you can separate one from the other. But it's so easy to get caught up in the idea of, you know, all negatives. Well, you know, it's just so easy to let that happen. I'm not saying you. I'm just saying, you know, folks in general. There's so many opportunities that life presents that gives us every chance we could ever want to feel, you know, frustrated with ourselves. Like, I haven't quite been enough, you know. Well, you know, I think that the formula is, you know, taking a look at the things I love most about myself and the things I love least about myself, and just leave hate out of the equation, man. So just wanted to just squeeze that in, man. Thank you for letting me, you know, sermonize.
Yeah.
Into overtime.
Listening and you reflecting with your relationship with Carol Ann, just got me to thinking about and reflecting on the complexity of relationships in general, but especially the complexity of relationships that you and I have encountered, and how a lot of times they've intersected, you know, our paths, if you will, intentionally and unintentionally.
Amen.
And sometimes trying to relay that to other people, it's interesting to see the look in their eyes sometimes, because they just don't quite understand. I mean, it's the easy way I can put it, you know. And I don't, and I'm not saying that to talk down on anyone, ladies and gentlemen. I'm just saying it's just like, you know, like you're, you know, like growing up, you know, and you know, you and mom were separated and divorced, but it wasn't a relationship where, you know, she spoke negatively about you, you know.
Yeah,
and,
man. That's right.
You know, there were negative moments that happened, if you will, you know, but it wasn't, you know, it was just the complexity of the relationship, you know, but you guys are good friends, you know.
Yeah.
You know, look at the complexity of the relationship with you and Carol Ann, with your stepmother, you know. Which has always been kind of weird for me to say, you know.
You.
And, you know, yeah, I'm sure you especially. You know, and trying to relate, you know, trying to explain that sometimes is just really interesting to see people's reactions. But we make it work. You know, we sure do.
Yeah, man, but I didn't even think of it in the way you just described it. There have been these intersections, these cross sections, these overlappings, you know, and they have intermingled with our relationship with each other. But they became, everyone became, even whether short or continuous, became a part of our relationship with each other. I never thought of it that way. You know, you and Carol Ann had your own relationship. You know, you and Tammy had your own relationship. Tammy and your mom had their own relationship. You know, just Marty and Penny, our cousins, they knew Carol Ann because she was out at the house. You know, we all went out there, you know. And then they all came and, you know, visited her at her house, you know. So, you know, I never thought about it like that, how these – go ahead.
No, I'm saying, but again, you know, if you're on the outside looking in, you'd be like,
wait a minute. So that is like that, like that. So I say all that just to say that, you know, in these times of balance and life and dealing with complexities, I'm just and reflecting. You know, I'm happy that, you know, we're at this point where we're at right now to reflect on that and to look on that. You know, I'm proud to say and to acknowledge how we've come through some of these challenging moments, challenging times, challenging relationships, you know.
Amen, man. Yeah.
You know. Thank you, you know, for even coming up with that idea of shifting gears. You said
we're going to have to revisit this again, periodically in future shows, man. You know, we're going to have to periodically take a break. Go ahead,
I guess this is just kind of like just checking the pulse, if you will, just making sure we're good, you know.
Dive in.
We got to come up for air sometimes in the rabbit hole, right? We gotta So before we go, you want to give any sneak previews about Saturday? Anything you wanted to lay out about Saturday's show?
Yeah, I think I mentioned it last Saturday. I think, you know, to some degree, I'm not sure. But the idea is to, you know, continue with the theme of, you know, just what the title says, Creatures of Habit, the Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. And looking at, you know, addictive relationships, you know, I'm sorry, addictive behaviors, you know, and, you know, where are they born from? How do they develop? And how does a person know that, you know, that behavior is what is emanating from someone who had no intention on letting that behavior become part of their, you know, everyday life? So addictive behaviors, you know, but as it goes, that's not in itself the show, you know, because it's the good, the bad, and the ugly. So, you know, that there's a variety of addictive behaviors. There's good ones, you know, there's bad ones, and there are ugly ones, you know, and usually it's the bad ones that turn ugly. You know, the good ones hardly ever turn bad, you know, but sometimes we don't give ourselves the opportunity to recognize the positive or separate the positive from the negative. You know, we just hear the word addictive, and it's like right away, you know, the stigma of addiction kicks in. Well, you know, there's some addictive behaviors that we do every day, but we don't think about them as being addictive. But the habit comes from somewhere, right? For eating.
Yeah.
Or it indicated that it's time to wash my stinking ass.
Well, said addictive relationships instead of addictive behaviors, but I guess relationships could be addictive too, huh?
Oh,
but
hell
I guess
and again, even that, you know, like, you know, we look at the habits of life, you know, and I'm correlating habits with, you know, addictive behaviors, you know, and I mean, like, you've had relatives who have stayed together for over 60 years, you know, out of habit, you know. But they weren't necessarily happy, you know, but they stayed together. And then you've known others within your family that only lasted for a short period of time for the same reason, that they weren't happy. They only lasted for a short period of time, you know, so there was no, you know, that behavior was severed quick before the addictive aspect of it kicked in, you know, and you know, you've seen it in different families where, you know, the ongoing theme, you know, is one of anything but happiness. But it's like, you know, the tendency or the pattern of the family is to ignore the elephant in the room. So, you know, everybody's invited over for Thanksgiving dinner, and somewhere along the meal, you know, dad loses his cool and just starts, you know, cussing out, you know, mom, or maybe even getting physically intimidating. And everybody sits at the table and looks. And after it's all over with, and after, you know, the dishes are picked up, then somebody will say, boy, that was a good meal, wasn't it? you know, so anyway, man, yeah. Amen, man. All right. I'm going to let you land this airplane, bro.
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, there you have it for tonight. This is the Greenhouse Effect Radio Show. Try to provide an opportunity to exercise critical thinking, experience a renewed self-awareness, and maybe even a deeper connection to others and their experiences, especially when we share interpretations and feelings. I'm Will. That's Bill over there. Catch us Saturday mornings, 10 a.m., and, of course, Mondays and Wednesday nights, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. As always, we hope that you all be safe, be blessed, and most importantly, be yourself, because everybody else is taken. All right, dude.
Amen.
You have a good night, man.
All righty, Will. You know, love you, man.
Love you, too.
I
good
enjoyed
night,
our
everybody.
Phone call. Good night, man.
Hey, why not, right?
Yeah.
All right. Have a good night.
Amen.